We talk a lot about identity. And lately we've been really, Lord's been impressing on our hearts. AJ, can you lower this a little bit? It's very loud. Thank you. We're talking about sonship and what that means. And learning to accept our positions as sons and daughters of the King. And what that's like. Today I want to talk about identity from a little bit of a different perspective. You were given a piece of paper that one side has the word saint and the other side has the word sinner on it. Does anyone still need a paper? If you just raise your hand and ushers will give you a paper. Okay, so there's a couple here, a couple back there. I'm going to ask you to do a very, very, very difficult task right now. Okay, I want you to take this paper and between saint and sinner, just rip it up into two sections. Okay. Now, there's two words, two pieces of paper, one word on each side. Why don't you imagine, you know how when you go to a conference or a new place, they give you a little sticky with your name on it that you put on your chest, a label? I want you that if I were to ask you this question, this is a private question, you don't have to, you know, reveal your answer. I say, I want to give you a label. Who are you? Are you a saint or a sinner? How would you describe yourself? Would you take the label of saint and put it on your chest? Or would you take the label of sinner and put it on your chest? Keep that in mind. We're going to get back to this. Why this is important? Because the label we place on ourselves comes with a definition, right? The label we identify ourselves with, the thing that we identify with, defines us. Right? Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, many of us have grown in churches, grown up in different churches, or from things people have said to us, we've learned to identify ourselves by one of these two labels. And hopefully today, we'll learn to identify ourselves with the label that God gave us. God gave us. Because a lot of times, the labels we identify ourselves with are based on thought and emotion in the circumstance of the moment, right? I said a curse word, therefore I'm bad. And I'm just being kind of simplify things here. I did a good deed today. I helped somebody with their groceries. I'm good. You know, things like that. I want to turn to right now Galatians 2:17 to 22. We're going to go a little deep today, but I want to try to keep it simple as much as I possibly can. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. He says, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. So the question is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor or sinner. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in, the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, I need to backtrack for just a second. Paul is making a difference between the labels that came along with the law, which is the Old Testament, and Christ who fulfilled the law. Now, it was clear in the Old Testament, and you needed that foundation to begin with, that when you sinned, you were apart from God, you were identified as being apart from God, and you needed atonement for that sin so you can be with God. Okay? So you were, to take those two labels that we have, you were a sinner till there was atonement of blood sacrifice, whether it's a lamb, pigeon, there was specific restrictions. But one of the things that happened, Christ fulfilled the law. He was the final sacrifice. His blood atoned every sin we commit when we repent of that sin. Okay? So it's no longer that I need to go through the process of sacrificing a pigeon or something of that nature for every sin I commit. Now it's I turn to Christ and I say, Jesus, I did something that was not of your heart, apart from you. Forgive me, and I receive your blood, and I repent, which again, repent means changing our mind. And today I'm believing many of us are going to literally change our mind. And one of the visions we had as we were praying this morning that is I literally saw people turning their back to the way things were and looking at the way where Christ was, the way things should be. So I'm believing today there's going to be some change, some turning away from the old to the new things of Christ in our lives with some revelation that are going to come out of this morning. So in Christ, he was our atonement. So in him, that label of sinner may not be true to us anymore as long as we are in him. That's the key here, okay? And I'm going to explain this in a second. So backdrop to this is Paul, prior to these verses, was explaining to the church in Galatia that, you know what, you can be a Christian and somehow slip back to your old ways. And he used what happened with Peter in the prior verses. Remember, Peter was with Paul in this time. He was hanging out with Paul. And he tells the story of how they were hanging out together. There were even other Jews with Peter, Jewish Christians, I should say, with Peter. But when... And they were ministering to Gentiles. And you know, Peter had that vision where God gave him permission to eat food that were formerly restricted to the Jews. Because what he was saying is, it's now okay to go into a Gentile's house and minister to them. God in Christ has broken that wall. Okay? But he tells the story of a bunch of Christian Jews or Jewish Christians who were from the main church in Jerusalem, who were not with them ministering to the Gentiles, showed up to where they were. And Peter and a lot of the Jewish Christians who were with Peter got a little bit fearful and anxious. Oh, what would they think of us? What would they think of us if they see us eating with the Gentiles? When they've been eating with the Gentiles all along, they've been hanging out with them and ministering to them and engaging in social conversations and all kinds of things with them. Not just ministering to them, but ministering with them. All of a sudden, Jewish Christians from the main church in Jerusalem show up, and now we're not going to eat with the Gentiles anymore. We're not going to hang out with them. And Paul tells them, I had to rebuke Peter. Who are you right now? Are you going back to the old man? Are you the same person you were pre-Jesus? Pre-revelation of what Jesus showed you? Or are you what you are now? Are you this new person whose mind has been opened to the things of God, who has the vision and the sight and you are seeing things the way Christ saw them. He didn't see a woman who was adulterous. He saw a woman who struggled with certain things, who he wanted to set free, and he saw her future. What she can be, not what she was. Every person who he healed that was sick, who was broken, who wasn't hurt, he didn't look down at their condition. He saw their potential. He saw their purpose. He saw their usefulness in who Christ was, in Christ. That's who he saw. So Paul was challenging Peter, who are you now? Who are you? You going back to the law? To where if I do this, I'm a sinner, I'm unclean? Or are you now walking with Christ? And let's unfold this scripture. I want to talk about two things, the conflict and the resolution that we have. So the conflict here is there's an issue with sin. And the label that goes along with this conflict is the label of sinner. This is the label that goes along with this conflict. The key word here is in verse 17. And I want to read verse 17 and 18 to you. If we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For I build again those things which I destroy, and I make myself a transgressor. So if I'm bringing up the things of old that I sought to destroy, I'm back to where I was if I rebuild them. But how do I rebuild them? How do I rebuild them? Well, let's look at something here. The key word is seek. If I seek to be justified by Christ. Think about that for a second. If I seek, if in seeking, if while we seek to be justified, if I am seeking to be justified, that means I am trying to earn something. I am thinking I could work my way into it, that if I do enough good, I will be accepted. Because there is nothing I have ever done in my life to earn the love and the grace and salvation that Jesus gave me. I have done nothing to earn that. Everything of heaven is freely given. There's nothing that I had to earn. It is freely given. I just needed to position myself to receive it. Okay? Nothing I did could or did earn my grace. Nothing. I am justified by faith, Scripture says. I walk in faith. Christ justified me in the atoning by the shedding of his blood. He justified me. I am who I am as a son of the King, not because of anything I did, but of everything Christ did. Everything he did. So he's saying, if you're going to go back to the old ways, trying to do the work, to earn your way back into God's good graces, something is wrong. Because while we're seeking to do right in that manner, we're actually doing wrong. Because this is not God's heart. Christ came and he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the purpose of the law, which everything prior to Christ was meant to draw us nearer to God's heart. Right? From the Torah to the law to the prophets, all those things. And being that none of them were perfect, he sent his only son to be that perfect peace that would justify us in his blood in faith. That's it. I don't have to earn anything. Because from that point on, it becomes about relationship. I am a Christian, not because I earned anything, but because I have a relationship with the one who died and set me free. I have that relationship. I'm identified. I can say I'm Danny's friend because I have a relationship with Danny. We know each other. And in relationships, healthy relationships, we honor each other. I will do whatever I can to help Danny be the best he can be, and he will do whatever he can to help me be the best I can be. Christ has done everything he can to help us to become everything we are meant to be, to reach the fullness of our potential. We are justified by him. The problem we have is that we believe the lie of the enemy, especially when we trip up sometimes, that now I have to do something to get it right. I have to fix it. I have to make it right. And what happens? That guilt hits us like a ton of bricks. Guilt, and we start beating ourselves down in that guilt. What did I do wrong? Oh, I'm so bad. I'm useless. I'm a louse. I mean, think about even simple things. My wife had to rebuke me several times and still does occasionally, which I'm thankful for. Every time I do something, you know, that isn't perfect, I go, stupid. And she goes, stop declaring that over yourself. Because what am I declaring over myself? I'm labeling myself something because I feel bad about myself in what just happened, in my certain immediate circumstance. Those are lies from the enemy. Many, you know, we're not perfect, guys. We're not Jesus. We're going to make mistakes. As hard as I try to be a perfect friend to Danny, I will never be perfect. I will say, I will do, I will act in a way, inadvertently, 99.9% of the time, that might hurt him a little bit. Did I mean to do that? No, but I do, because I'm human. And at that point, I'm going to go, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, please forgive me. That's a heart that turns to God. Lord, I slipped up. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. Help me not to do that again. I want to change my mind. I want to turn from that. There's a big difference between that and the label of sinner. Unfortunately, most of us, we do something and then all of a sudden, boom, we start walking around with this on our chest, right? I'm a sinner because it's stuck up here and in here. Guys, I'm here to tell you that only one who writes that on your chest is the enemy. If you are in Christ, and you need to be in Christ first, because until we're in Christ, we are separated from Christ. Okay? But when we're in him, when we receive him as our Savior, and we are covered in his love and in his blood, and have that relationship, that label no longer applies. It no longer applies to me. Because there's nothing I can do to earn his grace. He's given it freely. There's nothing I can do to earn his love. He already loves me more than I can ever imagine. To his capacity. He already loves me now, in this very moment, to capacity. But with that label, if I start labeling myself, I'm bringing up the old person. I'm bringing up the old me. And that's what the enemy wants you to bring up. The devil does not want you to look at yourself as Christ sees you. The enemy does not want you to see that you are clothed with the garment of salvation. and you wear his robe of righteousness. He does not want you to see that. He wants you to look in the mirror and see filthy rags. He wants you to look at yourself and say, I'm not good. I'm not worth dying for. Okay? Because that's what we tell Christ when we go back to the old self. We're actually, whether we say those words or not, the inference and connotation here, I'm not worth you dying for. And what you're dying for my sins and being my final atonement is not enough. So now I have to figure out a way to earn my way to heaven, to earn my salvation. Now, I need you to understand something. There's a significant difference between guilt and conviction. And I'm not talking here about conviction. The purpose of conviction is to turn my heart back to Jesus. The author, the center of conviction, is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convicts so that we turn our hearts back to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like the person, just to use kind of a tangible example. If I made a sarcastic remark to my friend Dan and didn't realize it hurt his feelings, the Holy Spirit would be the person who comes to me, hey, Mike, I think that was a little rough. Might have hurt Dan a little bit. You might want to go make sure it's okay. And a humble heart and a contrite spirit in me would make me go, hey, Danny, if I didn't mean to hurt you when I said that, and I apologize. The Holy Spirit is that loving friend who helps turn our hearts around back to Christ, to our ultimate friend who's just ready to love on us again and wash us clean. Guilt is nothing but weight. Nothing but literally dead weight. And all we're trying to do is figure out a way to lift those boulders that hold that weight off of us. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do to lift that weight of guilt off of us, other than Christ will put Christ at the other end of the scale and he'll lift it right on up. You're done. Guilt is a lie of the enemy. It's an emotional, a mental, a spiritual burden we are not meant to bear. Guilt will wear you out, will beat you down, will make you feel like your worth is crap to Christ. When Christ says, you are the apple of my eye, you are my beautiful son, you are my beautiful daughter, there's a place for you reserved right next to me. Put on my garment of praise. It's beautiful. Guilt will beat you down. Conviction will raise you up. Think about your mindsets. The Bible says, renew your mind with the washing of the word. What does his word say about me? His word says about you that in Christ, your sins have been washed clean. In Christ, you are a new creation. That old man that we want to try to rebuild through guilt and this label of sinner, keep him buried. Because even if you dig him up, you can't breathe life into him. He's dead man walking. The only bones that breathe new life are the ones that have the breath of life breathed on them. Okay? That's it. Old mindsets, old attitudes, specifically about ourselves, how we perceive ourselves. Because here's the resolution. Let's read 20 to 22 again. For I have been crucified with Christ, my final atonement. It is no longer I who live, But guess who lives in me? Christ. He's in me. Okay? Therefore, he's identified with me. For Christ to live, to have his habitation, his dwelling place in my heart, that means he's identified that I am a suitable home for him. Okay? I positioned myself to receive what he was freely giving. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. Not by things I do to try to earn my way back to heaven. Okay? I live by faith. The choices and decisions I make today, I make in faith because Christ is in me. I can walk away of the old man, of the old things, of those stronghold on my mind, those old attitudes, because now I walk in faith. To walk in faith means I'm not walking only where I can physically see or what I can physically feel or what I can physically touch. Walking in faith means I'm stepping where Christ is leading me to step, whether I see it, feel it, or touch it or not. The one assurance I have is that when I walk in faith, he's walking with me. He's not going to let me fall. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not going to fall apart. I may fall on my knees in worship, but I'm not going to fall apart. I may fall on my face giving him glory and praise, but I'm not going to fall apart. I have that assurance. It's an assurance. I'm going to say it again. Assurance that when I walk in faith, I walk from a place of strength. Sometimes we think if we see it, touch it, feel it, we have control, therefore we're strong, we're okay. Sometimes that's the weakest place we can be in because we're relying on the most weakest thing, ourselves. When we walk in faith, we walk in his strength, in his spirit. Why? He lives in me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's been established. He gave himself. He made the choice to give himself for me. So, if you think you have to earn your way to be loved, you're wrong. You're already loved before you did anything. You were loved. He's waiting on us to just have that relationship with him to love him back. I made a statement in prayer earlier this morning, and this is, I've shared this with my wife, and you know, I pray over my daughter every night, and one of verses, I think it's in Psalms, I forget exactly where, it talks about, you know me, you are intimately acquainted with me and my ways. And as I prayed that, started initially praying that over my daughter, I started praying out loud as well. Teach her to grow in being intimately acquainted with you. And I started praying that over my family when I pray for my family. And I feel like that's really key for us today. He already knows everything about us. Lord, teach us to grow in our awareness of you, to know you more. Not of you, but to know you more. Too many people in our pews and in churches around the world know of Jesus. But how many know him and are growing and being intimately acquainted with him? So Lord, let this be our heart's desire this morning, to be intimately acquainted with you. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Christ willingly chose to give up his life on the cross for us. He freely gave it. Everything from heaven is freely given. And then I willingly choose to receive. And I willingly make a choice to have a relationship with him, to be in him. It's my choice. It's my choice. It's a trade, actually. I'm trading a dead man for a new man. I mean, most of us have had fish at one time or another in our life. Most of us who didn't know how to take care of a fish, you get a goldfish, your first goldfish from the pet store, you take it home, and you forget that you have to temper the water, make sure the water that was in the bag it came with, you know, balances with the temperature of the water that's in your bowl, and feed it right. You know, most of us, the fish is dead in 24 hours because we just dump it in cold water, or we take a pile of food and drop it instead of realizing the food poisons the water if you put too much food. And then we take our receipt and go back and trade it in for a new fish. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did for us, right? He traded the dead for the living. Old life for the new life. And with new life comes new purpose. Or I should say, a restoration of the original purpose. But it's a new awareness of our purpose. With new life comes hope. New life comes with victory. His life is now in me. So if Christ is in me, if he did this for me, and I am in him, and I am walking with him, then this label of sinner, I need to yank off, tear it apart. If I had an ashtray with a lighter right now, I'd burn it so it would never exist. Because in him, he took this label of saint and he put it on my chest. And he says, walk proudly. Walk boldly. Walk faithfully. Walk with courage. Walk in my strength, in my hope, in my purpose. Walk with me. Walk with me. Recognize this as your new label. And if you're not sure about this, because some people struggle, well, I'm still a sinner saved by the blood. No. You're a saint who makes mistakes, who repents, and gets right with God. Okay, and if you don't believe me, I want to show you this in Scripture. And I'm going to blow through these pretty quickly. Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So you are now citizens among the other citizens who are labeled as saints. Well, if you're going to say, well, that's just, he might be talking about people in heaven and things in heaven. Well, let me show you this. Romans 1:7. To all who beloved of God in Rome, got called as saints. He's talking to living people now, Christians in Rome. Called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling. He just called living people who have been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, saints. You've been called to be saints in calling. With all who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints, again, calling humans like you and I. You think they were perfect? I can tell you right now, the people in Corinth were Gentiles, were actually people who believe in like Zeus and Apollo and things like that who converted to Christianity, so you know they're still working on those things, those attitudes and mindsets. But he says, Christ is in you now. He's helping you work through those things. You are saints. That label of sinner no longer applies to you anymore. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Again, living, breathing people like you and I right here today. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Same thing. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Okay? I love this one because he attaches confusion with identity as saints. He's not an author of confusion. He's made it clear. In Christ, you are saints. So don't go back to this old. Get it straight. Don't let false doctrine, don't let the voice of the enemy. You make a mistake, so what? So did every other living, breathing human being in this world, minus Jesus, that ever existed, made a mistake. You're covered by the blood. Go get washed in the blood. And that's it. That's it. That's why Jesus is there. That's who Jesus is. Lastly, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. What does that mean? He chose you. Think of the adoption process. When you go to adopt a baby, you pick the baby. You spend a little bit of time with the baby. You get to know them. And you make the choice to take them home with you. When he chose us, you are his chosen. He chose to take you home with him. He picked you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. A priest is somebody who ministers to God and ministers to the people the things of God. It's this way and then this way. You're a royal priest. Think, and he doesn't say you're a priesthood. He says you're a royal priesthood. Think of like a king in old times. You have the army and then you have the private, best of the best military, you know? You've got the Navy and then you have the Navy SEALs kind of thing. The very best of the best. You are the very best of the best. You're his royal priesthood. Just the term royal means you are part of his royal court. You're within his vicinity. You have direct access to him. That's what it's referring. You're engaged in relationship with him. You're part of the king's court. As sons and daughters, that's what we are. Okay? You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're called holy. I don't know about you, but what person who's a sinner is called holy? In Christ, who was our atonement, washed away our sins, we are holy. And then he says, his own special people. He established you and I to be very special for the purpose that we proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness. In other words, to declare what he has done for us and into his marvelous light. We praise him. We thank him. We reveal him. Man, this is where I was. But it's not who I am. This is what the world wanted me, but I'm turning into what Christ has called me to be. This is what the enemy wants me to think I am, but now I know who I am. I am a sinner because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I walk in the love of Jesus. His Spirit lives within me. My body is a temple of His Holy Spirit. I'm learning to make my thoughts in line with His thoughts of me. I'm learning to get my attitude in line with His attitude. I'm learning to see through His lens of how not just He sees me, but He sees through me, the things around me. I'm learning to think with His mind and walk in His ways. That's who I am right now. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to just position yourself in that receiving position like you're receiving a gift from God. I want to keep it very simple. Just get into that place of worship. I want you to simply, you know who you are. When you tore that paper earlier, and I asked you, which label would you place on your chest? If you are one who would place that label of sinner on your chest, just simply say, Lord, thank you for revealing the truth to me. I repent. I'm changing my mind. I'm turning my back on the lie that the enemy has held me under with guilt. Thank you that you are my atonement and that you call me a saint. See, I put the label of sinner on myself. He places the label of saint on me. Say thank you for calling me a saint. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Leon.
Yeah, so bear with me. When I came to Christ, I had a very immoral lifestyle before coming to Christ. And when I found out that I was a saint, I didn't know what to do with the past. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I just didn't know. I was like, well, what about all this stuff that I do feel guilty about? What about all of this? And the places that I went to, they never really talked about all of those things. They were just kind of like, well, you're a saint now, so you're good. Slap it on your chest and walk out of here. But I couldn't. I just couldn't. I didn't know how to do that. And it's really hard for me to explain it even now. But I just had to have some one-on-one time with the Lord. And I just had to go through one by one by one. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry for this. Lord, I am sorry for this. It was something that I can't even conceive that I did it. But I'm sorry for this. And I went through all of the things that I was sorry for, that I did feel guilty for. And it didn't work. I still felt it all. So I don't know if anybody's like that, where you're just like, well, that didn't help. I confessed it all to the Lord. I know I'm supposed to be forgiven and saved and set free and feeling really good about myself, but I don't. And the Lord led me to my spiritual Tia, which I'm going to cry because I just love her so much. But I went to someone and I said, look, I still have this stuff. And she was like, no problem. Come over here. Let me get it off of you. Amen? Somebody helped me and got that stuff off of me. They helped me. So if you already went to Jesus, you don't need anybody in between you. You don't need anybody between you and Jesus. You go straight to him. If you want to slather the blood of Jesus on you and say, I'm done with all of that, and that works for you, that's all you need. Stop there. But if you're like me who couldn't figure it out and you need a Tia in your life, there are mamas in the house that can help get that stuff off of you. Sorry, I'm not supposed to put it on my chin anymore. He told me, but I keep forgetting. So if you need somebody to help you, ask Holy Spirit, who do I go to for this? Who do I go to that can get things off of me, that can help me renounce things? I renounce that thing that I made agreement with. I renounce this sin that is trying to come through my family line. I renounce the actions. I plead it back with the blood of Christ. I plead it back with the actions of Christ. Is this helping anybody? I don't know. I just felt like I needed to share. So if you did step one, just Jesus, and you feel like walking out of here on clouds, you know you're forgiven because you feel like cloudy. You feel like, free. If you feel like, oh gosh, I've got to drag all this stuff around for another 35 years or 40 years or 50 years, then you need some help. We got to go a little deeper. We got to be a little transparent. We got to say, look, this is it. When I first met Mike, I was like, oh, okay, well, here's my testimony in writing in case it's a deal breaker for you. I've been through some stuff, y'all. I was like, just in case, this is the real me. And if that is a deal breaker, I get it. It's a lot. And he was like, I'm in. I am so in. So if you need some help getting things off of you, please don't suffer. Don't go through life going, oh, nobody will get this off of me. There are people in this house who walk in deliverance, who walk in inner healing, who walk in freedom ministries and can get that stuff off of you. Amen? Yeah? All
right. Want to do something. We're going to have the worship team. We're going to have the worship team worship. This is a very intimate and important time for us right now. What I want to ask is this. If what Tiffany shared with you speaks to you, if God highlighted somebody to go talk to specifically, you go talk to them. But I also want to ask if there are any mothers, spiritual mothers and fathers in this house who feel impressed, because I felt like Holy Spirit was going to impress on things right now, impressed on your heart to be available to pray with somebody individually right now. I want you to come up here if you're willing to pray with somebody. Just come on up here. If I can get one male up here as well, just to have a male up here for the men. But we can have more than one person up here. And please, women and men, I want to have people available. Now, if it's you, that you want to pray with somebody to get over this, I want you to come and just see which one of these people out here Holy Spirit highlights to you and just spend time with them. Otherwise, you're also welcome to stay where you are. We're officially going to close the service now, but don't leave till Holy Spirit's finished his work in you, whether it's there or up here. We just bless you in the name of Jesus to grow in your intimate acquaintance in him, in Jesus Christ. Amen.